You are listening to Packers Talk Radio Network.
PackersTalk.com.
Eddie Lacy, Mike Daniels, Gilbert Brown, Don Barclay, Micah Hyde, your Green Bay Packers, yesterday's legends and today's superstars. From corporate or nonprofit events to private parties, add some spice, hire a Packers player from Mayfield Sports Marketing. For details, just go to PackersTalk.com and click on Player Appearances.
Are you looking for some signed Packer memorabilia?
Look no further than Waukesha Sports Cards.
If a Green Bay Packer can sign it, Waukesha Sports Cards has it.
Check our website for upcoming Packer player and legend signings.
Go to WaukeshaSportsCards.com.
What is up, Packers fans? We're here to talk more Packers football. We've got beers, and in Dusty's case, bourbon, I guess, this week.
Yes, sir.
So we're ready to go. Welcome to Pack to the Future. I'm your host, Brian Fonsera, in the snow-covered city of Denver right now. Huge blizzard today. It was awesome. And we've got Dusty Evely.
Hey, what's up?
Dusty saw Krampus today. Give us a three-word synopsis.
I'll give you one. Dynamite. Eagle horn Santa.
I'm into it. All right. And we've got the real-life evil horned Santa, Jordan Peck.
How's it going, guys?
You do anything interesting today, Jordan?
Nah, not really.
No, that makes sense. All right. Jumping right into the football this week. A much, much better performance from the Packers back in Lambeau Field against America's team. Sure, the Cowboys. And we beat them, I think, the way we should have, a 3-touchdown win. I feel like I should be a little bit happier than I am just because of the negatives that were there. But you know what? A 3-touchdown win against the Cowboys is never bad news. So. So we can just bask in the glory of sending the Cowboys back to Dallas.
Awesome. Wonderful.
Love it. Oh, also, Dez Bryant had the dropsies again. There are no denying these ones either. So 3 drops and 1 catch on the day, I think. So love to
My
see
My favorite
that.
Was when he jumped up really high for no reason and then dropped the ball that hit him in the numbers. I think that was my favorite one.
It was great. I mean, was it like a sinking curveball or a knuckleball or something like that that was thrown to him? Or
it was on Castle's hand, so it could have been.
I was going to say that the chances are high. The chances are high with Castle.
There were some really
I think he just
bad balls.
Anything coming out of Castle's hand, I think he assumed he was just going to sail. So as soon as he saw it in his direction, he's like, I better jump for this.
I'm not sure Matt Castle had ever played in the rain before, based on some of those throws.
Based on some of those throws, I'm not sure he's ever played football before. Okay, well, let's get serious here, guys, because we did win much better. We are now in control, a game ahead, with the tiebreaker over the Vikings for the top spot in the division. And even an outside chance at getting that number 2 seed. Now, obviously, we'd have to win out and have to get some help with some other teams beating the Cardinals. But it's there. So we talked before the show about how our synopsis of last week's game has been going on for far too long the last couple weeks, including our hour and 45-minute show 2 weeks ago. So we're going to try to shorten things up a little bit, do things a little bit differently. So we're going to hear from all three of us with one negative thing and one positive thing from the previous game. So why don't we start with Jordan? Go ahead and give us one negative thing and one positive thing.
All right, the negative thing from this this game against the Cowboys for me was definitely the rush defense, in particular the big plays that were given up. If we eliminate those big plays, we're the discussion is whether we would have shut out the Cowboys on Sunday. They had two drives of note. The first drive that ended in the Sam Shields interception that the Cowboys probably should have scored on, and their four-play, 80-yard drive in the third quarter. And it was all just big running plays that were given up. So that was the big negative from this game. That was the most discouraging thing for me to watch. The positives, and there were plenty of positives to choose from in this game. But for me, the thing that I liked the most, but the thing that really popped out to me was the play of Jeff Janis on the special teams end. I think we've got ourselves a bona fide ace when it comes to getting down the field and stopping any opposing team's punt return game. He was all over Lucky Whitehead, I think, on three or four occasions. He was down there every single time, which is really just to help. Again, it limits any potential big plays that the opposing teams, special teams can have. And that's a very valuable thing. I think a lot of Packer fans are kind of more accepting the fact that he's not going to be a big-time passing game weapon, at least this year. So it's nice to see that he's found a role on this team in terms of kick returns and especially on punt return coverage. So that was my positive from this game.
Lucky Whitehead had absolutely no idea what to do about Jeff Janis. Absolutely none. I want to say he fielded three punts, and only one of them, he called a fair catch, and Jeff Janis was like 10 yards away, and there was no threat to him getting kicked. The other three he fielded without calling a fair catch, and within half a second, Jeff Janis was ripping his head off. He had no idea what to do about Jeff Janis.
Oh, he was lucky. Amazing. He was lucky to hold on. He was lucky to hold on to the ball in a couple of those times for sure.
Yeah, he really was. He really was. And Jordan, I thought your positive was going to be the fact that the Cowboys did not commit to the running game. My goodness, there were a couple other drives where they would, you know, try to run on first down, but then we'd stuff them, and then they wouldn't run again for the drive.
Mm-hmm.
When they had two 40-plus yard runs, and they made our running defense look foolish at times, and they didn't stick with it, so I'm very pleased by that.
Yeah.
All right, Dusty, negative, positive, what you got?
Yeah, my negative, it kind of goes along with what Jordan said, more or less. It's defense-related. I'll say something a little different. They looked really good this week. I mean, aside from, you know, they gave up those two big runs, I think totaling 96 yards. Besides that, they held them to 75 yards on the ground if you take those two runs away. So, they, you know, run defense was fine for the most part. They did give up some big runs. That four-play touchdown drive was bad. That seven-yard touchdown run by Turbin was just – it was one of those where Turbin kind of hit the hole and then hesitated because he thought someone was going to be there and then no one was. So, I can run straight. So we just – ran straight. So and the pass defense looked good, but they have just enough of those Turbin plays or just enough of those big plays where even when they're playing well, I still don't feel overly comfortable unless the Packers are up by two touchdowns with less than 5 minutes left or more than two touchdowns, I guess, with 5 minutes left. I just still don't trust them. With as well as they've played, they're still prone to giving up big plays or big chunks of yardage when they can't afford it. So it's good the defense has looked better, but that's still been a problem all season. And then my positive is just how Randall Cobb was used. I mean, McCarthy took back play calling, which was fantastic. In this game, Cobb had 52 yards after the catch, which was his most of the season. His second most was actually just 1 yard back as 51 yards, and that was in the Kansas City game. But aside from that, like he hadn't really been catching too many balls in space, in a place we could run. They were giving him wide receiver screens. They were doing little, 3 yard curls. They were using Cobb the way Cobb should be used. And he thrived. He looked better this week than he has, since the Chiefs game for sure. Maybe all season. And that was, I think that's a big adjustment that they made and something McCarthy was looking at, and it paid off for him. So I was very, very excited to see that. I'm hoping to see more of that going forward.
All right. I'm going to cheat and technically have two positives. My first positive is that I, for once, am not the one that's going to trash the defense. Might be the first time in our show's history. So my negative, it's a glaring one. It's that whole third quarter. It was ugly. It was just ugly. You know, we were giving up big runs. I believe that's when we gave up the touchdown. We let them get back into it. And, you know, the play calling, which, you know, credit, the play calling was much better yesterday. They actually stuck with what worked, but I'll get to that in a minute. And just, we stopped running the ball in the third quarter. We started making these strange passes again. I think that's when we had a screenplay to Richard Rodgers. I think it was his only one of the game, though. So there's that. You know, it just got really strange. And, you know, we once again came out at halftime and went away from what worked. And that's been frustrating all year long. But, you know, that kind of leads me into my positive, is that the whole rest of the game, it's the running game. Eddie Lacy, we played a little bit of buy or sell last week on whether Eddie Lacy was truly back or not, because McCarthy said he had a good week of practice, and I didn't quite sell, but I wasn't ready to buy. Well, I guess I'll eat a little bit of humble pie, because I'm buying now. The guy looked like the Eddie Lacy we've known and loved for the last 2 years, just running, spin moves, jukes, breaking through tackles, hitting the hole. Everything we love about Eddie Lacy was back. And my favorite part of all that was he got the ball a lot. So did James Starks. We kept running. We ran it at him all the first half and all the fourth quarter, and they couldn't do a damn thing about it. So sticking with the running game, and the running game rewarded us well over 200 yards of rushing this week. So that's my positive.
It was an interesting thing. It was an interesting thing with Lacy, just to mention that. I don't know if you guys saw this, but I think it was Ed Warder that tweeted out that Nick Saban from Alabama actually contacted the Packers and told him that the best way to deal with Eddie Lacy's behavior was to take the game away from him. And that's what they did in Detroit, and the results speak for themselves in the Dallas game.
It worked.
Mm-hmm.
It worked. It's quick.
Yeah, I thought that was very interesting.
Yeah. Before we get to our guest, each of us can take a minute or two to talk about how happy we are that Mike McCarthy took over the play calling. Dusty, you get the honor of going first.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, so happy. I mean, this was – I assume we're all probably going to say about the same thing, but
probably.
Yeah, I mean, it was night and day difference. I mean, I touched on Randall Cobb and how he was used, and how that was a testament to McCarthy's play calling, and just knowing, like we've talked about that a number of times. It seemed like they were kind of using guys, or the way Clemens was using guys was not based on their strengths. And that's one thing McCarthy does really, really well is Clemens was almost kind of taking a scheme and saying, okay, well, I'm going to fit guys into the scheme. And apparently that scheme was just like running a whole bunch of guys like 15 yards, 20 yards downfield. McCarthy knows the guys he has and uses them really well. And even without Nelson, they hit a lull in the third quarter, like you said, but even without Nelson, they showed they can be a very effective offense. And it was very, very exciting to see. I'll jump on kind of what you said, Brian, with the running game. So in the first half, they had 17 carries for 68 yards, which is good. Not great, 4 yards a carry. Second half, 18 carries for 127 yards. It's exactly what they should be doing. Lacy had 11 carries in the first half and 13 in the second half, just wearing them down. And Starks went from 6 to 5, so he jumped down a little. But too often this year, we'd seen them come out and do well in the first half. Was that the Bears game? I think they had like 14 runs in the first half and like 5 in the second or 6 in the second or something, when the running game was doing well. And I mean, that's also a testament to McCarthy. He saw I know his whole thing was, you know, look at the big picture. That's why he stepped away. He wanted to improve the team in other ways, but it's obvious that what he does best, or, you know, seems to be, given how they looked this week and how they looked every week with McCarthy as play caller, is he knows what works with the offense. And he showed that this week. The offense looked better, like way better than they have. The Chiefs game, they were good. But, I mean, that's about the only game I can really point to and get really, really excited about. The Seahawks game was a good win, but it's not like they looked amazing offensively in that. They look good. They look crisp, especially given what we've watched lately. So it's, I mean, I could go on for a while. I don't want to step on your guys' points, but I'm very, very, very excited for many, many reasons to have him back as play calling.
All right, I have three things to say about it. One, I have to give credit to John Rahor, who after that game came out on Twitter and said, my question for Tom Clements now is, and he had the picture of one of the Bobs from Office Space saying, what would you say you do here? I don't know, McCarthy said he still has very much is very involved with the planning and the strategy of everything. Just the play calling itself is now to McCarthy. But you know what? We have Edgar Bennett. He's your offensive coordinator. We have Mike McCarthy. He's your play caller. What is this assistant offensive coach doing now?
I loved real quick to jump on that. I loved, they always show Clements. He was on the sideline. They threw a shot to him in the booth with no headset, yes, or play card or anything, just kind of standing there. Like, yeah, that looks about right.
And that's the exact point. It's, what do you do? Like, on Sundays, mm-hmm, why don't you just sit at home and watch it on the couch with your wife? My goodness. All right. My second point is, it got played down quite a bit by McCarthy and Rodgers afterward. But, you know, they said, oh, it wasn't really an issue. We just changed this for communication's sake. Well, you know what? If you're making a change mid-season, it was clearly an issue. And all the complaining we've been doing about it was very much validated, because if you don't actually think it was an issue, you wouldn't have changed it. So you don't have to feed us those lines, Mike. You really don't. And my third point is, I'm very happy to see, I think Mike McCarthy gets something that Tom Clements doesn't. And I'm living in Denver, so it's easy for me to bring this up. When John Elway was at the end of his career, hadn't won a Super Bowl yet, they changed the offense to be running-based. They ran to set up the pass, and that won them two Super Bowls, including one over our beloved Green Bay Packers. Now, obviously, Aaron Rodgers is not near the end of his career. He still has 8 to 10 years left in the NFL. But it's kind of like a micro version of that, where, you know what, the passing game just isn't going to be your bread and butter this year. You have got to run the ball until they stop it and just make them afraid of it. And you can use the pass after that. And that's what we did in this game, and I really hope that's what we stick with, because if we do, if the offense performs that way, we can beat absolutely anybody in the NFL. So,
mm-hmm,
so here's hoping. Jordan.
Yeah, and they'd go along with that, too. That's the beauty of having a mobile quarterback. You're right, the focus of this team needs to be the running game, particularly how they performed this past game. But having Rodgers back there, obviously we know his arm talent, but, I mean, the passing game is not what we expected, and it's not looking like it's going to be anything to an above-average level. So, but it's very nice that on those plays, and it happened in the Dallas game, that Rodgers was able to extend some plays, pick up some first downs, and that's invaluable to a team. Another thing, just going off of what you said before in terms of McCarthy and Rodgers' comments, and, I mean, it was no surprise to me that they said those things. Those are two guys that are, you know, very loyal to Clements to be bashing his play call. And you know they weren't going to go out and say that. So I think deep down they know a change had to be made. They made the change. They're going to say what they need to kind of, you know, not throw their friend under the bus. But I think that's all it is. I don't think they'll talk much more about it. Clements' job is just ceremonial now. He'll be up in the booth. And he's, yeah, you said he has no game day responsibilities. I don't see how he could. It's all going to be midweek, and if there's value in that, and I think there will be, there's obviously a connection between him and Rodgers that can be valuable in the preparation. But on game day, it needs to be McCarthy, and it's a good thing that it is. So I don't have too much more to say on that. There's the cohesion of the offense was very good, or a lot considerably better than the past few weeks. The play that, mm-hmm. that stuck out to me was the first Starks touchdown. Just a lot of different movement in the backfield. It looked like Dallas was confused. A perfect screen play to Starks. I guess it would be. I'm not sure if it was exactly a screen pass, but just a pass out in the flats. It was just beautifully set up, beautifully designed. Mm-hmm. It was an easy touchdown for him. That was just great, wonderful yep. score. So that was the play that really stuck out to me. And it's I think the more they keep going with McCarthy's play calling these last few weeks, I think it's only going to improve. They're going to get back into the swing of things. I think the pass game will improve a little bit. So I'm really happy they made the change. It's got to be a tough thing for guys' pride, a particular guy like McCarthy, to make a change like that and admit, I made a poor decision this offseason. Mm-hmm. And, like, it's good that he made that. It's good that he stood up and did that. That was a thing that needed to happen for the team, and I think we're better off for it.
And to toot my horn really quickly, last week I said a huge problem is that Aaron Rodgers is not getting to the line fast enough because there were too many voices in his headset saying this play, no that play, you know, just too much disruption, and he wasn't getting the time to make his reads at the line. And it sure looked to me like he was at the line a lot faster this week. They were running the offense faster. He had mm-hmm. time to read the defense and make adjustments, and it paid off handsomely.
I got a quick question, just a quick follow-up. I don't want to take too much time on it, but just something I was just thinking about. So McCarthy stepped away to spend more time with the rest of the team with special teams disaster last year and the defense, all that stuff. Do we think with him coming back to the offense that some of those improvements that have been made in other areas may fall by the wayside, or do we think that's a result more of the coordinators and less of McCarthy's all-seeing eye?
You know, I think it's more coordinators. The defense is where it was last year. You know, it didn't get any better with McCarthy helping out. Yeah, I hope I'm right when I say coordinators on special teams, but I also, you know, we had a great special teams week again this week, and the emergence of mm-hmm. Jeff Janis is a big part of that, you know, especially his punt coverage ability. So, you know, I think he trusts where the other guys are and was willing to step back.
I bet you Ron Zick was saying, hey, if you're not going to use Jeff Janis on offense, let me have him.
Yeah, right.
He's been using him very well.
Yeah, he has. All right, before we move on, one-word answer. That's it, just one word. Is Tom Clemens on this coaching staff next year, Dusty?
No.
Jordan?
No.
I say no as well. All right. That's all then. Let's move on to next week, and let's bring in our guest. It is Tyler Smith of silverandblackpride.com, the Raiders SB Nation blog. Tyler, how are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Thank you very much.
Awesome. Welcome to the show. We're glad you can make it.
Glad to be here.
All right. So, Tyler, we are playing your Oakland Raiders this week, and you know, a lot better from the Raiders than the past, I don't know, 20 years or so?
About that, yeah.
Has any team ever been this happy to be 6-7?
You know, I'm going to go with no. We've had such a long streak of not even mediocrity, well beneath that. It's been so bad for so long. I mean, we're talking Detroit Lions at their worst stretches of absolute futility. And, you know, the number one pick of Jamarcus Russell and the Darren McFadden getting hurt and not really working out. I mean, his best games, honestly, you just saw it against the Cowboys.
Yep.
And just nothing has gone right. Darius Hayward-Bey didn't work out. Rolando McClain turned out to be a knucklehead. I mean, it's just been really, really bad. So, I mean, we had some tough years when we first hired Reggie McKenzie away from you. But, you know, the last couple of years, he's hit on almost all of his draft picks. And 6-7 is about where this team ought to be right now, considering their complete lack of depth. So So I'm personally ecstatic about it.
You got to be feeling pretty good about the future, especially on offense with guys like Amari Cooper, Derek Carr, and now Michael Crabtree, who just signed an extension. Tell me about that.
Yeah, I'm really stoked about all this. I think Derek Carr, in a couple of years, is going to be in the top three, if not the best quarterback in the AFC. Peyton Manning is going to retire eventually. Tom Brady is going to retire eventually. Alex Smith was never good. Phillip Rivers is going to retire eventually. And I think when all is said and done, I think you'll look at Derek Carr as probably the new face of the AFC, if not the entire league. So I'm really stoked about his development and his progression and, you know, his work ethic and dedication to the league. He threw three interceptions against the Chiefs, and all he could say all week was it was keeping them up at night. And I'm like, Derek, get some sleep. Let us stay up at night worrying about that. You need to rest and go play the Broncos. And he was horrible for the first half against the Broncos, but the second half he was actually pretty good. Amari Cooper, I am absolutely giddy that we have him on our team. I loved him at Alabama. He was one of my favorite players, even though I don't particularly care for the Crimson Tide because I'm a Gator fan. But I love that guy. I'm super stoked that he's on our team. You know, I look forward to 15 years of absolute dominance. I think Clive Walford is an up-and-coming player. We saw some flashes of brilliance from him against the Broncos, and I think he'll only continue to get better. And I think we have some older players on our offensive line right now, but we also have some real young studs. And we also have Menelik Watson, who we drafted out of Florida State a few years ago, who hurt his leg, and he's on injured reserve this year, but he'll be back next season. Probably going to take over a starting tackle spot. Donald Penn is really, really good right now, but he's not getting any younger, and he'll have to be replaced eventually, most likely by Watson himself. So the future of the Raiders' offense is pretty bright, to say nothing of their defense.
All right, so speaking of their defense, Khalil Mack had, what, five sacks, I believe, with Brock
Osweiler
last week?
Five sacks in the second half alone.
In the second half alone. Unbelievable.
Yep.
We could talk for, you know, 7 or 8 hours just about Charles Woodson and how awesome he is, but for now let's just talk Khalil Mack. Gush about him for a minute and tell me if there's any way that we can marginally disrupt Khalil Mack's day.
Well, there is only one way, and that would be to make sure Aaron Rodgers bootlegs away from Khalil Mack on every conceivable opportunity. Or you could take two tight ends and line them up on Khalil Mack and clip his legs as much as you possibly can, but he'll probably jump over those guys. So you better just have Aaron Rodgers outrun him. That would be the only thing I could think you could do, because, I mean, the Broncos had their running backs try to chip Khalil Mack on occasion, and Mack just threw anybody who was coming his way out of his way like they were a rag doll. I mean, he absolutely brutalized the entire Broncos offensive line. Now, the Broncos offensive line isn't great, but they're not, you know, they're not terrible. And Mack made them look like toddlers. He made them look absolutely stupid. And, you know, I hope you have somebody better than they do, because if not, it's going to be a pretty long day. I mean, as far as gushing about Khalil Mack personally, I remember leading up to the draft, Mike Mayock from NFL Network said that Khalil Mack should have been the first player taken overall. And turns out Mr. Mayock was correct.
Yeah, I think that's clear now.
I think he's the best player from that draft. I think Jadeveon Clowney is okay, but he's, you know, Khalil Mack is, you know, orders of magnitude better than anybody else taken from that draft, except perhaps Derek Carr. I think if you redrafted that today, Mack and Carr would go number one and number two overall.
Yeah, without question, and you wouldn't have either of them.
No, we wouldn't, and it would be sad. We'd end up with Aaron Donald, and that wouldn't be that bad.
No. That's true. Oh, man. Well, we do have John Kuhn, who has made some very important blocks from time to time on elite pass rushers in the past. But, you know, I'll consider it a victory if we are able to keep him at three sacks or below. Because if he's lining up across from David Bakhtiari,
you're going to have
a long day.
And if you double or triple, you know, Khalil Mack, you got Mario Edwards Jr. on the other side, who was an absolute terror against the Broncos last week. So pick your poison.
Yeah. Well, hopefully we'll have success running it in the middle, because I think that's about it. All right. So, Tyler, give us your prediction for this game. What do you see happen?
Well, before I get to that, I want to say that Tom Clemens is a people person. He deals with the people so the engineers don't have to. So what is wrong with you people? I do think the Packers are going to attempt to commit to the run, but the Broncos did that too, and they rushed for less than 60 yards on the day. So I don't know how
Tyler,
much success you're going to have with that. But, you know,
Tyler,
keep
are you
trying.
Saying that Clemens doing the play calling on a jump to conclusions, Matt? Do you know
yeah.
that? Do you have that information from you?
It was the worst idea in the history of ideas, but he made a lot of money off of it.
Oh, man. Okay, what were we talking about, even?
We were talking about you attempting to run the ball against the Raiders' rush defense, which is,
unless
your name is Adrian Peterson, you probably haven't had much success running the ball against the Raiders this year. So it's very strange. The Raiders have literally the worst secondary I have ever seen in my entire life. But teams don't seem to be able to commit to a game plan where they consistently go to the tight end over the middle, like play after play after play. They keep trying to run it up the gut. And we have Dan Williams as our nose tackle. What are you doing? That's not going to work. That's literally not going to work. We have Dan Williams, who's 300 and God knows how many pounds, next to Justin Ellis, who's at least 370. Like, stop doing that. We never cover the tight end. Richard Rodgers is just going to have 150 yards, maybe by halftime. So just don't even bother. Aaron Rodgers should throw the ball no less than 65 times in this game.
You want to know why nobody throws the ball up the middle? You want to know? They're all afraid of Charles Woodson.
They are, and he has been fantastic. He recovered a fumble against the Broncos. He picked off Peyton Manning twice earlier this year. He is a god. I love that man.
Mm-hmm.
He is great. We, like I said, we could all four of us could just gush about him for 6 or 7 hours, but
yeah, I could too. I actually have a vintage Charles Woodson jersey from his first stint with the Raiders in my closet hanging up right now, and I bust it out on occasion just out of respect.
Nice.
Dude, if I had that jersey, I would never take it off.
Well, it smells a bit now.
That's okay. I would wear it to work. I would be buried in it. Everything.
I may yet be buried in it.
All right. So, game prediction.
You know, the Packers are objectively a better team than the Raiders, but so were the Jets. I think the Packers may pull this one out, but I think it'll be really close. I don't think it's going to be as easy a game as the Cowboys game was, which may not have been objectively easy to you, but when I saw the score, and I kept seeing the score because I was watching the Raider game, and the score would go up and up and up for the Packers and not go up at all for the Cowboys. And if you can't get a pass rush on the Cowboys offensive line, you're certainly not going to get one on the Raiders offensive line because we have the best pass blocking offensive line in the league. So it's going to be a much more difficult game than what you just experienced. So if you do pull it out, which I suspect you may, it's not going to be by very much.
So are you picking the Packers?
I'm going to officially pick the Packers with some reservations because I'm not very confident in it whatsoever. The Raiders
That's
play
fair.
Pretty well at home.
That's fair.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Tyler, tell us about your contribution to silverandblackpride.com and where we can find you on Twitter.
Well, my Twitter is @RaiderDamas. I am Raider Damas, and my column comes out every Friday morning during the season. It is Raider Damas' Friday Foretelling, in which I roast the heck out of whatever team and city we're playing that week and give my score prediction for the game. And it's a lot of fun. I am absolutely brutal. People take it really seriously. Like, Browns fans and Lions fans took it really, really hard. And it's absolute satire. I mean, nothing you say at the Comedy Central roast of the Detroit Lions is going to be accurate for what you actually think of the Detroit Lions, except you know, when I do it. But it's satire. Nothing I say is meant to be taken seriously. I love everybody. You know, it's just for fun. So, you know, if people come in and they're like, this is, I've written 1,500 words of absolute nonsense. And they come in and like, well, there appear to be some factual inaccuracies in this article. And I'm like, yeah, well, that's your problem, sir. Yeah, but that's what I do, and it's a lot of fun. So check me out. It's posted to my Twitter, so follow me at Raider Domus, and you'll get a link to it, and we'll all have a good time.
Well, I can promise you this. I hope that some of our listeners will check out your article. I read your one that you wrote for the Broncos this week, and it was fantastic. I don't think we have a single listener that takes themselves or life seriously, so we'll get you some readers this week.
Well, that's good. And I assure you, your Packers will really enjoy all my articles that I wrote previously about the Vikings, Lions, and the Bears, all of which you can find on silverandblackpride.com.
Awesome. Well, I'll definitely be checking those out. Thank you for joining us, Tyler.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you, Tyler.
All right, bye-bye.
All right. I'm dead serious. You really do need to go read some of his articles there.
Broncos one
spot on. Absolutely.
Really good.
Spot on. All right. So he very non-committedly picked the Packers to win this one. Very reluctant about it. And I with good reason. It's going to be a close game, I think. But Dusty, what are you looking for this week?
I got a couple things. The one he mentioned, Khalil Mack. First of all, I remember when Khalil Mack was drafted. Football Outsiders has a stat they use called sack seer, which basically projects how incoming pass rushers will do at the next level. And I believe Mack got the highest ever grade on that. Out of 100, I think he ranked like around a 97. And an interesting little fact, I believe that same draft, Michael Sam Wright was a 2.3, so that always made me laugh a little bit. But yeah, Mack is good. He's very scary. You mentioned him lining up against Bakhtiari would be a nightmare. Bulaga, I still don't think Bulaga is 100%. If he goes on either side, this past game, Bulaga had gave up one sack and three QB hurries, and the line as a whole gave up two sacks and six QB hurries. So he gave up half of those numbers by himself. So no matter where Mack lines up, like he could have a day. Like Tyler said, they're going to have to bring someone to chip him. It actually makes me kind of wonder if they may end up activating Corliss for this game. He's a little better. He's a little better in that portion of the game than Richard Rodgers is, although he's rusty. So I'd be a little wary. Like you said, I wouldn't be shocked to see Kuhn in the backfield quite a bit, kind of help on some of that stuff. So Mack worries me. I'll say my other one would be it's the last report I read, it sounds doubtful that Shields is going to be playing this game, which means that Amari Cooper and Michael Crabtree are going to be guarded by Demaryius Randle and Quentin Rollins, and those guys, Randle was great. We talked about that a little bit. He gave up, he was on Bryant for most of the game after Shields went out early. Targeted three times when he was covering Bryant, gave up zero catches and had that pass defense, that one in the middle of the field that he read perfectly. The only catch he gave up was a 12 yard to Cole Beasley. So he was, when targeting him, they were 1 for 4 for 12 yards. Like that's really good. Rollins fared pretty well himself. He gave up a couple catches to Terrence Williams, but that's something worth watching. I mean, obviously I'd rather have Shields out there. Going with two rookies on the outside, it's possible Hayward will be out there, but he has not fared well out there this year. So it's looking like it's going to be Randle and Rollins on the outside against Cooper and Crabtree, and that worries me a little. But I mean, if those guys play like I know they can play, they'll be fine. Give up a handful of plays, but this is the week I'm really looking forward to. If it's those two guys starting on the outside, I'm really looking forward to seeing what those guys can do on the same time starting the entire game. I'm very excited and nervous at the same time for that. But that's kind of what I'm looking at.
All right. I'll start with my concern, and it is their wide receivers against our cornerbacks. A couple of rookies. I know Cooper is a rookie as well, and Tyler was saying, I don't know if he said it on the show or not, but he said it before the show that Cooper was targeted, I think, 8 times last week and didn't have any catches. So it was a really rough game for him. And, he's going to have rookie moments like that. I don't expect him to do it 2 weeks in a row. And I'm nervous about those two. Michael Crabtree has been a completely different player since going to Oakland from San Francisco. It's amazing what having a decent quarterback throwing to you can do for a career. And Cooper has just been a highlight reel all year long. Yeah, there have been some drops and, you know, misread balls, but he's been fantastic. He's really close to 1,000 yards in his rookie year. He's good. So that makes me really nervous. Khalil Mack also makes me nervous. What I'm encouraged about is, you know, the ways to stop a pass rusher are running the ball right past him and beating him in a screen game. And those just happen to be our offensive strengths. And I said it while Tyler was on that I'd consider it a victory if we held him to 3 sacks or less. I stand by that. But, you know, we do have ways of negating that. And, by the way, the Coon block in particular that I was referring to was the one he had on Julius Peppers in that division-clinching game at the end of the 2013 season against the Bears.
I think we were all thinking about that play there, Brian.
Oh, my goodness. He got, what, one hand on the guy? Peppers missed him by an inch. Oh, my goodness. The rest is history.
I watched. That's one of the first articles I ever wrote looking at coach's film. I watched that play probably 24 times. Just that amazing play by Coon.
Amazing. And, you know, he mentioned how good their pass blocking is. And, yes, that concerns me. Not being able to get a pass rush will concern me. The reason I feel fairly optimistic about that, two things. One, Derek Carr is still very young. And Dom Capers, for all the crap I give him, has a good track record against young quarterbacks. He knows how to disguise blitzes. He knows how to get in their face, and he knows how to confuse them. So there's that. And there's also the fact, you know, we really did struggle with getting to Matt Cassel last week, but I don't think we really tried that hard on that many occasions. It didn't feel to me like the game plan was to go out and beat up Matt Cassel. It was to make him stay in the pocket and beat you with his throws, knowing that he couldn't do that. And sure enough, he didn't. It was quite possibly his worst game as a Cowboy. So if we want to dial up more pressure, I have a little bit of faith that we can get home a few times and just disrupt the rhythm of a young quarterback, which Dom Capers is more than capable of. So that's why I'm feeling fairly optimistic about this game. Fairly optimistic. Jordan.
I mean, you guys have both touched on the receivers for Oakland and Khalil Mack. With Khalil Mack, I'm less worried about him. There are ways for our offense, and now with McCarthy at the helm, to neutralize his impact. Whether it be screen passes like we ran against Dallas, which were very effective, they can be equally effective against a team like Oakland. So if the offense is crisp, Rodgers is getting the ball out of his hands quickly. I like to see Randall Cobb involved in this game equally as well. If we're talking just shorter routes, getting the ball in his hands, having him make some plays, that's what it's going to take in order to neutralize Khalil Mack and what he's able to do and the havoc he's able to wreak on the defense. With the receivers, with Cooper and Crabtree, it's going to be down to the guys you mentioned. Randall and Rollins are really going to have to step up. This is probably their biggest game to date that they've played. There's a lot on the line with this game. It's not a must-win game for the Packers, but if we're trying to achieve the goals that we want to achieve heading into the playoffs, this is a game we have to win. We're a better team than the Raiders. The Raiders are capable of winning, but they need to step it up, and it's a tough spot to put them in as rookies, but that's why they get their high draft picks, and they have to step up to the challenge. And I think they can. I mean, Randall, we've seen Randall do a lot of good things this year, so I'm not as concerned about him. Rollins, whether he's matched up against Cooper or Crabtree, that's a tough, very tough matchup. So I think that's going to be the thing to be more concerned about with this game on Sunday. But I do believe they can succeed. I think they can have a good game, and I think they can put us in a good position to win.
All right. Well, let's get to the predictions then. Jordan, we'll let you keep the good times rolling. What's your prediction for this game?
For this, I'm actually going to go Packers 27, Raiders 16. I think the offense even improves on their body of work from last week to this week, from a good Cowboys defense to another a pretty decent Raiders defense with some playmakers. But I think we'll continue to make the plays, put up some points. It's probably a conservative estimate for the Raiders, but I think our defense comes out and makes some plays. I think Derek Carr is going to throw a couple passes that can be intercepted. So we got to take advantage of those opportunities. But I think the Packers do it. I think they keep it rolling. I'm picking them 27-16.
All right, Dusty.
I'm going Packers 21-13. I am concerned about the pass rush, so I would like. I originally had the Packers scoring somewhere between 28 and 31. But I kind of dialed it back a bit because that pass rush does concern me. Raiders offense also concerns me. That they're relatively inconsistent, so they don't concern me too much. I do think they're going to put up some points. It's another good defense. Like you said, there are ways to combat Khalil Mack. I am worried. I'm worried about Woodson, but I'm still taking Packers 21-13.
All right. I'm going Packers as well, so it is a clean sweep this week, everybody picking the Packers. I'm going 20-17. Very dramatic game. And I'm putting the keys to the game as the screen game, which absolutely crushed it for us again last week. I really wish that it would be feasible to run a screen on every single play of a game, because if so, the Packers would never have to punt again, and we could get rid of Tim Maste forever and never look back. My other key is something Tyler mentioned again, Richard Rodgers. If he can find those seams up the middle, which is the Achilles heel of this Raiders defense, something that sounds very familiar to Packer fans, tight ends just destroying you. Oh boy, do we have stories. If we're able to get those two things going, then the offense is going to be able to move pretty well. So those are my keys. That's my prediction, 2017 Packers. All right, keeping going with the predictions portion and starting with our upset specials of the week. Dusty, who's your upset?
I'm going to take San Francisco over Cincinnati. I think I've taken Cincinnati to get upset before, and I have lost, or at least I've thought about taking them, and I lost in my own mind, which is probably worse. But they're going into San Francisco. They've got it's hard for me to say his name without wanting to throw up. I got A.J. McCarron at quarterback. Now, he's got weapons. But did you guys see him play this past week? Like, legit, did you guys watch any of his snaps this past week?
I did. It was not pretty.
Wasn't.
He had the I gave you crap a few weeks ago for talking about Kirk Cousins. But I remember when Cousins came into the league, the big knock on him, and he still does this to some extent. Like, Cousins doesn't have the strongest arm, but he has a tendency to fade away from throws, and he's gotten better at that, which is why he's improved. McCarron had one of the worst ones I've ever seen with no one in his face throwing. It ended up being like a 2 yard out or something, but he faded away from it and it was just an easy pick six. The ball, I swear, took 5 seconds to get there. And the
That's
defensive
exactly
back
what I was thinking.
From,
that
like,
ball was in the air forever. Oh my
I
goodness.
I think that defensive back was back, like, I think he was 30 yards off the ball. And he broke on that and was able to get there before the receiver did. It was impressive speed is what it was. But I mean, granted, every throw is not like that. He had a beautiful touchdown pass, but he's not a good quarterback. Maybe he will become I'm gonna give his ceiling a serviceable at some point, but he's not. And he's not gotten any reps. He's not had any reason to show what he can do, but he's basically like a worse version of Andy Dalton, like when Andy Dalton was terrible, like his first 3 years in the league or whatever. Like,
better watch it. Andy Dalton won 3 Super Bowls already this year, man.
I think he lost it with the injury, with the broken hand. I think he gave at least one of them up.
So.
His haircut gave up another one. So, but yeah, I don't know. It's it's San Francisco, so anything could happen, but it's hard for me to pick AJ McCarron on the road against anybody. So it just happens to be San Francisco this week.
All right. Jordan, who's your upset?
I'm going Chicago over Minnesota. This is a game with two teams that are trending downwards. Particularly Minnesota, they put up a pretty good game against Arizona, but it seemed like a lot of things were going their way. Peterson was running hard, and they just couldn't get over the edge over the edge in that game to get that W. I can see a little bit of a letdown here. Chicago plays pretty well away from Soldier Field. They're 4-2 on the road. Vikings again. I think they peaked early. I think Bridgewater's coming back down to earth. He's not there yet at least an average quarterback. He's not there yet. So I'm taking Chicago. I'm not overly confident about this pick, but I see Minnesota continuing their downward trend. So I'm taking Chicago over the Vikings.
I got a question for you on that, Jordan. So
yeah,
Jay Cutler coming in town over the holidays. So you had to pick Chicago. Old Uncle Jay Cutler. Is that why you're picking this game?
Well, I mean, we might share a meal. Might cook up some Cornish hens for the holidays. I mean, it's just typical holiday, you know. It's
sure
could happen.
Good old Uncle Jay.
Yes.
Oh man. All right. So my pick, and I feel dirty about it because anyone that knows me well enough knows that I hate the Eagles so much. And, you know, I wouldn't have said this a couple of years ago, but the Eagles might now be my least favorite team in the entire NFL, and it's because of Chip Kelly. Oh, my goodness, I hate that man so much.
Watch your mouth.
Oh, my goodness. No, I will not watch my mouth. I hate him so much. Oh, I know you're an Oregon guy, but you realize the only reason he left Oregon was because he was about to get in a lot of trouble for cheating, right?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, cool.
I'm fine with it. Perfectly fine with it.
Total acceptance. That's awesome.
Okay, so I am picking the Eagles to do the Packers a huge favor and knock off the Cardinals. Eagles are actually playing really good football at the moment, probably for the first time since Chip Kelly has been named their coach. They're playing some good football right now. Won a couple games that I did not expect them to win, including at New England. Nobody saw that coming. We probably should have seen it coming because it was Jordan's lock that the Patriots were going to win that game. We probably should have assumed.
I'm glad you're making this pick and not me. I think that bodes well for the Packers.
Now, of course, knowing Chip Kelly and how much I hate him, he's probably going to pick this week to play like crap again now that I'm actually picking him. Oh, God, that man. He knows how to push my button. All right, so Eagles over Cardinals.
You're pretty subtle with it, Brian. I picked up on your cues, but you're pretty subtle.
You know what? I'm going to go out on a limb here, Dusty, and say that I hate Chip Kelly as much as you hate Peyton Manning.
Man, that's a lot of hate. You got to make sure of something like that before you say it. I got a lot of hate in me.
It's there, though. I just can't stand his arrogant way that he thinks that he is smarter than everyone else in the NFL. Drives me nuts. Sorry, you guys are going to get me on a rant. I know that's not what this show is about.
Let the hate flow through you, Brian. Let the hate flow through you.
Oh, my goodness. I know that he's planning on sacrificing several children to a pagan god for Christmas. I know that much
Fine.
For sure.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Maybe Peyton Manning will be at his house for it. He's not doing anything else these days.
Fun fact, Peyton Manning is Krampus. he goes around on Christmas Eve, and if you went bad, he puts your children in sacks, just carries them off to the netherworld or wherever. Like that's a fact. That you guys can look it up. Let me Dr. Wikipedia real quick, but that's a fact.
I thought we had established that Jordan is Krampus, but
I thought Peyton would be recording a nationwide commercial on Christmas. So I don't know if you're right about that.
I think
maybe
Jordan
it's a nationwide
maybe
commercial
like,
where he's frying up children.
I think Jordan is like Mall Krampus. Like there's, you know, like there's a lot of them, but I think Peyton Manning's like the main one. So
yeah. Man, these children taste so good.
Very good.
Oh, I feel really bad about that. Oh my goodness, almost as bad as I do about picking the Eagles to win a football game. Ugh. All right, let's move on. All right, from upsets to locks of the week. Dusty, who's your lock?
Taking Jacksonville over Atlanta. It's actually the game is in. I actually had to double check this. So the game is actually in Jacksonville, and Atlanta, with as terrible as they've been playing, and as well as Jacksonville has been playing, is actually favored to win that game. Not by much. I think it's like maybe 1.5 or something. But still, mm-hmm. Atlanta has just been terrible after their what were they 5-0 to start the season. They look like shockingly bad. I even when they were bad last year, I was still a very big Matt Ryan cheerleader. I don't know what's going on with him this year. Julio's been healthy all year. Roddy White's been healthy. I mean, he's old, but he's been healthy. You got Devontae Freeman's been good. The defense hasn't been good, but they look really bad. That offense just looks terrible. Jacksonville's clicking a little bit. They're inconsistent. They're young. The weapons they have, they've got some tremendous weapons on the outside. Allen Robinson and Hearns have been fantastic. Bortles has been touch and go this year, but when he's been good, he's been very, very good. So I'm taking Jacksonville to, I don't know, Atlanta by 2 touchdowns. I think they're going to beat Atlanta pretty good.
All right. I'm taking a gimme. There are two big gimmies this week, and I'm taking one of them. It's just too delicious not to. Seattle over Cleveland. I know Cleveland got a win this week, whatever, Johnny football, whatever. Seattle is clicking at the right time. They're playing really well. I know they're down to their third string running back, but, you know, if they have weapons in the passing game, they can, you know, Russell Wilson can also beat you with his legs. That defense is playing a lot better than it was in the first half of the season. And the Browns are the Browns. They're in contention for the first overall pick. And if they don't get that, they're going to get the second overall pick. They're just garbage yet again. It's poor coaching, poor playing, their quarterback position. You know, it's they keep on going back to Johnny Manziel, and he's just a clown. He's got some talent. He can make a few throws. He can make some plays with his legs, but the dude is a clown who doesn't take anything seriously. I'm sorry, but he's never going to win you seriously meaningful games. So this would be a meaningful game. It would be a statement win. They're not going to get it. Seattle takes it.
Uh-huh.
Sorry, I feel like I'm ranting a lot in the prediction portion
you
of
are.
Our show today.
What it up, man? It's Christmas.
It's probably because I've moved on to the last bottle of beer in this house, and that's one of my wife's Red's Apple Ales that I just don't enjoy, but she can't drink because she's been sick for the last 6 months. So I'm falling on a grenade, and you guys are paying the price for it. All right, Jordan, who's your lock?
Lock of the week. I'm actually taking the Kansas City Chiefs over the Baltimore Ravens. I believe this game is in Baltimore. That doesn't matter whatsoever. They have Matt Schaub as their quarterback. Yeah, Baltimore's really been one of the bigger disappointments in this year, being 4-9. They've considering they still have John Harbaugh as their coach, it's been a very disappointing year. With Flacco out, they really have no chance. Kansas City's been streaking, looking real sharp. They know they have no room for error with how well the Jets and the Steelers have been playing, trying to get those two wild card spots. They got to keep coming, and I think they will. I think this is an easy 2-3 possession or 2-3 score game win over Baltimore. I'm taking Chiefs comfortably.
Hey, who's quarterback in the Ravens? Is it Clawson? Is Clawson starting this game?
Oh, Clawson. I'm sorry. Yes, that's right. Schaub is out.
Is Jimmy Clawson starting? Wow. I know they signed Ryan Mallett this week. So
that's right.
Right. Oh, man. Yeah, just a completely lost season for the Ravens, who a lot of people
I mean, I picked them to win the division. A lot of people had them in or winning the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Yikes, were we wrong.
Well, I tell you, and the Chiefs, too, I mean, after the game we played against them in Week 3, I don't think we ever would have thought this team would be one of the hot. I mean, they are, I don't know, not the hottest team. I think that probably goes to either Seattle or in Arizona right now with the win streak they're on. But Kansas City's looking very, very sharp. And if they keep going, they might be gifted with playing their first playoff game against the AFC South, quote-unquote, champion.
Right.
Which is a nice draw for them, very nice draw for them. If they can get Cincinnati in the second round, if Dalton's not there, I mean, the Chiefs could be poised to make a run. They could get a good draw.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, fantasy picks, and I don't think I have any ranting to do about mine. So, before I think of any ranting to do, I'll just say it. Delanie Walker, the tight end for the Tennessee Titans. Yikes, they're going up against the New England Patriots in Foxborough. There's no way that they're going to win that game. Marcus Mariota is probably going to be running for his life, but that could be a very good thing for Delanie Walker because tight ends tend to be the safety net, especially for young quarterbacks. So he could be looking to dump it off to Walker a lot. And Walker is a solid tight end. He has not gotten enough credit this year for how good he has been. And it'll just be a big game for him. That's all. Dusty, who you got?
Yeah, Walker's great. I've had him on my team for the majority of the year, picked him up off waivers. And I think when Mariota's in, I think he's been one of the top scoring tight ends. He's down a little just because his Mariota missed a game or two and he had bad weeks. But yeah, he's been great. So before I get to mine, real quick correction. I said that the Falcons were favored going into Jacksonville, and that was incorrect. So I just want to go ahead and say that. My fantasy sleeper is Marcus Wheaton for Pittsburgh. They're going up against Denver this week. Game's in Pittsburgh, but we know firsthand how tough Denver's defense is. They've shown some cracks lately. I think the Raiders were down 12-0 and came back to win this past week, so they can be beat. I'm guessing Denver is going to put big effort into stopping Antonio Brown and Martavis Bryant. So I'm thinking that Wheaton's going to see a lot of targets. I'm looking for a pretty big game from him.
All right. Okay, and Jordan, who's your fantasy guy?
I'm actually going to be going with this is kind of going out on a limb because there's been no guarantee that he's going to be getting the carries, but I'm making a prediction that he will. I'm going Bryce Brown for the Seattle Seahawks. Just picked up recently. I'd say with fantasy owners, if they have going into the playoffs, if they had Thomas Rawls, I think Bryce Brown is the better choice to have over DeJuan Harris, former Packer DeJuan Harris.
I believe DeJuan Harris was cut today, actually.
Was he cut?
I believe so. So you would definitely be right there.
Oh, yeah, because he had 18 carries for 42 yards. Not an impressive performance. Obviously, that performance had him pick up Bryce Brown. They have Fred Jackson, but Fred Jackson's their third down back. Not going to get a whole ton of – not going to get the majority of the snaps. Certainly not going to get the majority of the carries. So I see Bryce Brown, who's had a pretty productive season the year that LeSean McCoy went down, if I'm not mistaken. So the guy's got some talent. Any guy getting back into the league is obviously going to be hungry, particularly in his first game. So I expect him to have a pretty decent game for Seattle, particularly with their easy matchup.
All right. Okay. We have finished. On to our final thoughts. Jordan, keep it going. What's your final thought for today?
Oh, I would say, I don't know. For the Packers coming up, we've talked about this, but I'm very optimistic with the way the passing game is going. I really do think there's going to be a big improvement. I think we've watched them over the past few weeks, and there's been very little reason for optimism with the passing game. I think with McCarthy, there's going to be a bigger comfort level. even with guys like Jones and Adams. I think those guys are going to start producing more. I really do. I expect to see it more this week, and as we keep going, I'm liking the look of this team if going into January with McCarthy at the helm calling the plays. So I think I'm more optimistic than most Packer fans, but I'm feeling pretty good about this team right now. I really am.
All right, Dusty.
I just want to give a big I love you to Charles Woodson. Loved him in Michigan. Loved him the entire time he's been in the league. Obviously loved the time he was with the Packers. He had a lot of big moments with the Packers. I loved one of my favorite ones. It may have been Cutler's first game as a starting quarterback. I think he threw four picks. One of them was just flat-footed, and Charles Woodson standing back like it was a punt return. That one always sticks with me for some reason. But just so many great plays. But one of my favorite Woodson moments was when they won the NFC Championship game back in 2010 season, and he had the speech in the locker room. It's on the DVD for that season, for the Super Bowl year, where there's the whole big thing about how, I don't know, Obama wasn't going to go see the game because it was in Green Bay or something. And Woodson, after the game, they're going to the Super Bowl, he says, you know what? Obama doesn't want to come see us. We're going to go see him.
Mm-hmm.
And that moment, that always killed me. Greg Jennings got up just screaming. Everyone's going nuts. With all the great moments he had in Green Bay, I think that's one of my favorites is that little speech. For some reason, that always killed me. So I don't like going up against him. He's having a great season. He scares me back there. But for the short time he was with the Packers, made a huge difference, and I've loved him since he's been in the league. So Charles Woodson, just keep doing what you're doing, fella, and I hope you have an off week this week.
All right, so my final thought, I have a few. I'll start with my one that's Packer-related. It's Ty Montgomery. I really hope to see him back this week.
Mm.
I thought he might be back last week, and in no way do I think he's going to come out and be, you know, the savior of this offense or anything like that, but he can be a really solid contributor and just add a lot to this offense. My other two are another shout out for Adam Cech, still battling the colon cancer. We're here for you, buddy. And same with Chris Kristofsko, who, if you haven't checked it out yet, please go to TitletownSoundoff.com and look at his article that he just released this week, God, Family, and When Football No Longer Matters. It's his telling of the whole thing he just went through, he and his wife. You know, last week we mentioned how she had lost the baby that she was carrying. Well, then she almost died a couple days later. It's a fantastic article if you haven't read it already, and it just puts so much in perspective. So please go read it. It's amazing. And then one other very random thing. I actually just got a notification that Badgers basketball coach Bo Ryan just decided that he is officially retiring right now, I think.
Effective end of the semester. It says end of the semester.
I'm seeing a new thing that says effective immediately.
Oh, yikes. How about that?
Yeah, I just got this notification pushed through to my phone. Maybe that's why I got muted a second ago.
It's on ESPN right now. Look at that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'm looking at that right now. Yeah, huh.
So, yeah, it was going to be the end of this year. He was going to go one more full year. He must see how much of a job it's going to be to rebuild it all, so just let them start now. So hats off to him. I haven't always been his biggest fan, but he took this team to two straight Final Fours, nearly won us a national championship last year. So hats off for a great career.
No kidding.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
All right. So you know it's a good Packers podcast when we end on a Badger basketball note, am I right?
keeping focused, yes.
All right, so that's all we have. Thank you to Tyler Smith for joining us. Thank you guys for listening. And I hope we can go to Oakland and get a win this week, right? Go Pack Go.
Absolutely. Go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go.
Are you looking for some signed Packer memorabilia?
Look no further than Waukesha Sports Cards.
If a Green Bay Packer can sign it, Waukesha Sports Cards has it.
Check our website for upcoming Packer player and legend signings.
Go to WaukeshaSportsCards.com.
Eddie Lacy, Mike Daniels, Gilbert Brown, Don Barclay, Micah Hyde, your Green Bay Packers, yesterday's legends and today's superstars. From corporate or nonprofit events to private parties, add some spice, hire a Packers player from Mayfield Sports Marketing. For details, just go to PackersTalk.com and click on Player Appearances.